So last week we heard how the current head of the Northern Ireland Civil Service, David Stirling, revealed that meetings with government ministers sometimes were not minuted to stop freedom of information requests. Now this is what Sinn Féin's Martin O'Muir had to say when he was asked about that practice last week.
The implication, clearly, is that we did not discharge our responsibilities correctly as ministers, or that we encouraged or instructed civil servants not to do so now. Civil servants, of course, have to be accountable as well. And I certainly never, and I heard my colleague Conor Murphy speak for all Sinn Féin ministers to say we never would and never did instruct civil servants to breach the obligations they have to minute decisions taken.
So this morning, the Belfast newsletter has revealed that just over a year ago, the then Sinn Féin Infrastructure Minister, Chris Hazard, he had been due to bring civil servants to a meeting with the Sinn Féin MP, Paul Maskey, and taxi company owners. However, at the last minute, Mr Hazard told the officials not to attend. And that meant that there are now no departmental record of what happened. This, of course, according to the newsletter. We can speak to their political editor, Sam McBride, now. Good morning to you, Sam.
Good morning, Finnick.
How surprised were you to come across this information?
Not terribly surprised. And I mean, I think that if we had found this 3 or 4 weeks ago, it wouldn't have been that much of a story, to be honest, because there was really a sense among a lot of us who have covered Stormont that this was how the DUP and Sinn Féin tended to operate. They were not terribly transparent in lots of their dealings, and in some cases they were quite upfront about that, and in the private certainly. So I think the surprise comes in the level of the clear Sinn Féin rejection of what David Stirling said. That really surprised me. And then after that, I was not at all surprised, I suppose, to find this and some other evidence which has begun emerging of really evidence that for whatever motive, and it's very hard to prove the motive of why the minister chose not to take officials.
Well, what motive could there be? Because I know when it comes to politics, Sam, that trust is so important, it is so vital, and clarity of our elected representatives, what they're doing and why. So what could be the other reasons behind this?
Well, I suppose, I mean, if we start first of all with what Sinn Féin say, they say that they always adhere to protocols for ministers. Their ministers always played by the rules. They say that it's for the minister to decide who should accompany him to a meeting. They say that it would depend on the nature of the meeting, the level of support which would be required in that context, and that in this case, they say the nature of the meeting changed to an informal discussion between Paul Maskey and Chris Hazard. Now, that is very difficult to substantiate in the evidence of any, or sorry, in the absence of any minute as to what actually transpired there. But what we do know is the departmental policy changed quite significantly around some of the issues which were due to be discussed in that meeting just a few days later. So I think if you look at this in the context, there seems to have been something quite substantial which took place in that period. But there's this key piece of missing evidence, I suppose, from the departmental record, where even officials seem to be saying, we don't know what happened, but they are, as civil servants, still implementing that policy in the absence of a minister. And I think in terms of what motive there could be, this is something which is a controversial policy. This was about allowing taxis, many taxis in Belfast, in
yes.
bus lanes. That was something which was inevitably going to cause a degree of controversy. You can understand why a minister wouldn't necessarily want to have all of the batting around of ideas and maybe other even more controversial.
But why not? Before we come to that, Sam, we did ask Sinn Féin to come on the programme this morning, but they have given us a statement and said, it says Sinn Féin representatives were elected to make a difference and ministers were appointed to implement policy decisions after a proper process of appropriate consultation and consideration. At the meeting referred to, Chris Hazard had an informal discussion with Paul Maskey MP regarding a number of West Belfast infrastructure issues. No representatives of the taxi associations were present at this time. Chris Hazard did, however, meet with representatives of the cycling community to discuss the issue. And then they end on having assured himself that such a pilot presented no increased risk to road users. He had then announced his decision to pilot a scheme which allowed taxis to use bus lanes, as happens in a number of other major issues. So the key thing there is he's saying this is an informal meeting between Maskey and Hazard. So what's your response to that, Sam?
Well, I think, I mean, it's very difficult to define what an informal ministerial meeting about a key policy decision would be. I think it's very convenient in some circumstances to say that this is an informal meeting and we don't need to have officials present. We don't need to have people who are outside our party present. And then on other occasions to say this is a very serious piece of business and we have to have you there. I think the general rule of thumb for this, as outlined by David Stirling at the RHI inquiry, was that civil servants ought to accompany ministers to ministerial meetings. So if this was a party meeting, that is not something where civil servants would need to be there. But this was clearly in his diary as the Minister of Infrastructure. It was to discuss infrastructure business, not party business, and officials had been due to attend. So there was clearly something quite significant changed there. And in terms of whether the individuals from the taxi industry actually attended the meeting, first of all, it's very difficult to tell that in the absence of a minute, which shows who was there. But secondly, Paul Maskey has been somebody who has been very vocal in campaigning on behalf of some of those people. So was it that they had met him beforehand and said, we don't need to actually be there, you will represent our views? None of that can now be, I suppose, transparently looked at because there is no evidence of what actually happened there as the policy was made.
So if it was an MP from a different party, let's say from the DUP, do you think that would have changed the fact that it wasn't minuted? Would that have been minuted as a result because it wasn't within the one party?
No, I think this is a practice which is probably common to lots of parties, certainly to the DUP and Sinn Féin. I mean, we have written on several occasions over the last couple of weeks about how there's a particular problem in the DUP, I suppose, around freedom of information requests. I suppose what seems to be the issue here is that Sinn Féin, I suppose, are not quite so difficult when it comes to freedom of information requests. But I suppose further up the chain, the record doesn't even get created in some cases. So it's not an instance of something being blocked from being released. It doesn't even exist for the officials to know about it, let alone for anybody outside the department to know. And I think that is quite significant, particularly in an area of policy where one of the arguments around this was that there were key issues of human safety. So, I mean, there were potentially life and death issues at stake here in terms of cyclists and bus lanes, in terms of who should be there, whether that was best practice. The idea that you wouldn't want expert officials at all of those meetings, I mean, it's difficult to explain that, I think.
Malachy O'Doherty is with us as well, of course.
Good morning, Kenny.
Good morning, Malachy. Not long after this, there was announcement of significant change in terms of policy, and it leads to the question, Malachy, of when is a ministerial meeting not a ministerial meeting?
Well, as Sam says, without the minutes, we don't know even if this meeting really took place or if things were decided over a pint in the Felons Club. I mean, it's as sloppy as that. It makes Martino Mueller look a bit silly, although if listening very carefully to the words he used, he's saying that minutes would be taken of decision. Minutes would be made of decisions taken. The decision was taken, all right, but there's no minute of how that decision was taken, what the discussion was between Chris Hazard and his party colleague Paul Maskey on how they would sort this out. This is, as I understand it, in brief, even of the programme for government, you know, which sets out a policy for sustainable transport or a consultation on sustainable transport, which makes no reference at all to taxis in bus lanes or cycle lanes. So I mean, it's pretty much the two party colleagues deciding that they can do a favour to the taxi companies that they have a particular interest in.
We don't know that, and they would deny that. Let's go back to what Martino Mueller said, because I think language is very important. This was a week or two ago on Evening Extra.
We never would and never did instruct civil servants to breach the obligations they have to minute decisions taken.
So they never instructed them, but they did ask them, the civil servants, not to turn up. And as a result, there were no minutes taken for what was in the diary as a ministerial meeting, Malachy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. There was a ministerial meeting with an MP for a constituency in which there is a concern held by many taxi companies that their business will be curtailed because they won't have access to bus lanes. That's all legitimate. Martino Mueller says we never instructed people not to take minutes of decisions taken. The decision was taken after the meeting. Martino Mueller's statement can be read as not covering the meeting meeting at all. You know, it can be read as not having a relevance to whether the meetings are minuted or not. You know, you could say that he's been deft in his use of language there to be clear that he's you know, he's not saying something which he seems to be saying. But I mean, the reality is that this should have been minuted. The civil servants should have been there. We have people in the cycling lobby who are very, very concerned about this, who have protested against taxis being allowed onto bus lanes, jeopardising cyclists, and they can't now look at the you know, the record and see what the reasoning was behind the decision to expose.
Yes, we can't scrutinise that. The Sinn Féin, the statement from Sinn Féin to the newsletter. It says Sinn Féin ministers adhere to all protocols relating to the conduct of their ministerial business. So is this, Sam McBride, in the protocol? Is this by the letter what they should have done? Or because they say that the nature of the meeting changed in this, it's fine, that covers the fact they asked the civil servants to stay away?
I think there is a lot of ambiguity in politics around these things. Lots of it comes down to the judgment of the minister, the judgment of the civil servants, and as to how interventionist the civil servants will be in terms of saying to the minister, this is just not acceptable, we are doing this. What we seem to have got from David Stirling is evidence that within the culture of the Northern Ireland Civil Service, there wasn't really that sort of culture, certainly when it came to record keeping. There do seem to be cases where in other areas that you did say to ministers, no, we don't think we can do that, or you have to formally direct us to do that. But when it came to this very important area of actually having a clear record of what happened, who met who, what was the purpose of the meeting, what was discussed, that was something which civil servants seemed to go along with. And I think in a wider sense, there were people, and probably Martin O'Melia was to the forefront of this, who were really, I suppose, questioning the veracity of what David Stirling said when he told the inquiry. And he was very specific about it. It was the DUP and Sinn Féin. He didn't say it in a general sense about executive ministers. He said it was about these two parties being sensitive to criticism and not wanting records. And I think this in the context of what we now know, gives, I suppose, added credibility to what he said, that this was something which we know happened in the DUP, and here is evidence that it was happening in Sinn Féin. And yes, it's certainly true that Martin O'Melia can say we never instructed civil servants to not minute a meeting, but if you instruct them not to attend the meeting, well,
essentially that's the same thing, because as a result of you saying do not come into this room, this meeting, then they cannot be there to take minutes.
Arguably, it's actually much worse than that, because at least if the civil servants are present, even if there's not a formal record of it, they may have some sort of note of it in their diary. They may at least be able to feed into the policy, be aware of who the minister's meeting, who those people are, what their vested interests are, and be able to have some sort of a more holistic approach to it. It's certainly not ideal if they're not keeping a formal record, but if they're not even in the room, I think that raises all sorts of questions. And it's very easy to see how that could lead to problems.
What do you think at home this morning? 030 30 80 55 55. Do you think this is something that you is it inappropriate? Is it something that you think I want to know? I want to be able to find out. I want to put in my FOI and know exactly what was said in that meeting. I want to see the minutes. Or do you think it doesn't matter? I don't care. I voted for my politicians to do their job, and as far as I am concerned, they are doing that. 030 30 80 55 55. Malachy, it comes back again to that clarity issue and the trust issue. Do you think, does this do any further damage to all of our politicians up on the Hill who are not being seen in the best light at the minute anyway?
Well, that's a point. Could they be in any worse standing with the people here, you know? But it does do damage. And I mean, the reality is, as Sam pointed out, this is a life or death issue. You know, sooner or later, I mean, God forbid, but we may get a serious accident between a cyclist and a taxi on a bus lane, and there will be then a furore in the media. There will then be inquests. There will then be inquiries into how this happened, and there will then be the moral question over the quality of the decision taken by a minister that allowed that possibility to arise. The other side of this is this was done at a time after Sinn Féin had pulled out of the executive. And but this came after Martin McGuinness's resignation, after the initial veto, after Sinn Féin decided that it was going to veto Stormont and veto the executive, right? So, I mean, the presumption that you can go on making decisions anyway, when you've shut down the executive, and Chris Hazard, as a minister in Sinn Féin, would have known the broad Sinn Féin strategy. He would have known that they were not coming back after the election in March of last year to put things together and and discuss these things around the executive table. He would have known that there was a long plan to continue with the veto of Stormont and to force negotiations with the DUP.
It's a slightly separate issue, Malky. But
well, it's a slightly separate issue, but I mean, where is, you know, if you're saying on the one hand, we're pulling out of Stormont, we're not coming back until we've changed the character of the place, and then you continue to function as a minister, you may have the legal powers in that period to make decisions, but it's against procedure, it's against normal routine for a minister to make a decision at those times, but it is also highly morally questionable, the integrity of a decision taken when you know that Stormont isn't coming back. That's what I'm pointing to.
Sinn Féin would of course dispute that, but we're going to move on.
What did they dispute, Vinny?
Well,
what did they dispute? They knew that Stormont wasn't coming back. They had made the decision themselves that they were going to go into talks after
they would dispute Malachy O'Doherty that it was immoral.
Well, that's a subjective use of a word. We can talk about morality or integrity or confidence or whatever. Essentially, my understanding of the decision, a decision taken when you are actually undermining the whole democratic process in the thing, when you're choosing to withdraw for a substantial period of time from the parliamentary system.
They were
here,
still in talks, and of course, we have to go back to the fact they say they are standing up for what they were elected for, the policies that they were standing and saying to the people that were willing to vote for them.
This was before an election. This is before an election.
Yeah,
you can't say he was standing up for what he was elected for. They weren't elected to pull out of Stormont.
They were elected.
They weren't elected to go against a programme for government. Which had said nothing about taxis and bus lanes.
You know fine well, Malachy, that Sinn Féin will say they are representing their electorate.
They will say they're representing their electorate, and they are representing their electorate in the continuation of their veto over the demand for a United an Irish Language Act. They were not representing their electorate prior to an election. The electorate had its say in the 2015 election before that. There was no say from the electorate that you pull out of Stormont. There was no say from the electorate that you go against the programme for government on its transport policy.
You say this and you understand exactly the point I'm trying to make. The different issues that they say they're standing for, if you want to talk about equality, you know, for example, and you know that is why they are doing what they're doing. They say
they're doing what they're doing. But the timing of this was prior to an election. That election, if you like, gave them a mandate.
So Sinn Féin became one of the biggest parties in Northern Ireland. How?
After this decision.
I'm talking about in the last 10 years.
This decision to let taxis onto cycle lanes was taken before last year's election.
Okay.
It was last year's election which gave them the mandate, if you like, to continue with the veto of Stormont.
Okay. Malachy O'Doherty and Sam McBride, thank you very much.